Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm right here.
You are right here.
You said that as a question, like you forgot my name briefly. Did you forget my name
So one day I plan to look up and it's going to be that like the moment in Good Will Hunting and you're not there.
Uh-huh.
And I just smile to myself and go, he's made it. He's escaped. He's broken the curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just before we get into the news.
Yes.
You know my wife, Claire.
Yes.
You see her.
You never shut up about her.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's love, man. Anyway,
sometimes you use a funny voice, like you're from you refer to her. You use a funny voice, like some sort of Eastern European voice.
Yes, that's
don't
right.
I understand what you're doing there, but all right, whatever makes you feel comfortable.
she's got a podcast called Just Make the Thing.
Yes,
where her and her friend Chanel talk about like getting creative things off the ground and like the stumbling blocks that you might find mm-hmm. along the way. And in her latest episode, which is up now and it's down below, it's me and her talking about this podcast,
how'd she get
YouTube
you?
Channel, mate.
Because you've got nothing else going on.
And it's, if you're interested in kind of how any of this started, then yeah, I'd say give it a listen. It's about 40 or so minutes.
How long did you give her it's difficult. From personal experience, it's difficult to avoid being on somebody's podcast if you live with them.
Yeah, that is very true.
Which has happened to me in the past. And you're like, I have to keep putting it off. Did she chase you around for a few weeks? And you're like, oh, pretty busy schedule,
I'd
mate.
Rather
I can't.
Not, you know.
I'm right off my feet, really.
No, it was pretty. I was happy to do it.
Yeah,
so,
great.
No, I think I think it's interesting. We talk about you for a little bit as well. So
oh, no.
There you go. So none of it good, but. But let's get into this show.
Mm-hmm. Is it in a segment called like anchors that weigh you down?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Here's how to eliminate the things that just stop you from being creative.
Yeah, this is about the human barnacle in both of our lives. No, not at all. That's links below, though, if you want to check it out. Also, Jurassic World 2, first bit of news.
Here we go.
It's officially titled Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Hello.
So I guess that refers to
whatever happened at the end of the last one.
They took all the dinosaur embryos and they jumped
ship. Oh, yeah, B.D. Wong's evil.
Yeah, he was. He went mad.
Okay, right. But do you think that's going to be the plot of the new one? Or do you think Fallen Kingdom is going to refer to the destruction of Jurassic World and what's left of it?
But do you think, potentially, or what's left of the company maybe, but do you want to go back to another theme park?
That's where the money is.
Yeah, sure.
That's what they're going to do. Like, weren't 2 and 3 more or less that?
Yeah.
Let's go back to what was left. And this is kind of a soft reboot.
Yeah.
So I reckon 2 is going to be Jurassic Park 2.
I think it's going to be a bit different. I think they're going to try something else.
Hit me with your something else.
I don't know what that is.
Terrific.
We've talked about before, do Planet of the Apes but with dinosaurs.
Yeah, right.
So like they're just in the world.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if that's going to be it, but they've given nothing away. We know that Jeff Goldblum's back.
Oh.
So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, he's done with his Fedora adverts.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, have you not seen those?
Oh,
they're all
on
over
Facebook.
The place in Melbourne. Yeah.
No, I have,
they're in bus shelters and stuff.
Good on
Americans,
him.
Is Jeff Goldblum doing Fedora ads in America, or is he doing that thing where like celebrities.
Yeah, Sam Jackson does like sports bet in Australia.
Yeah, right.
Things like that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who else? Alec Baldwin does like an ad for a lending company.
Oh, I thought you were going to say suits for a big wide man.
No.
Don't you think he'd be good for that? I have a big wide neck, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Get a big suit.
Yeah.
Not a fat man, but a broad man in the neck.
I can't remember the name of the company. It doesn't matter. Anyway, if any of those celebrities are shilling weird stuff in your country, let us know.
That's what people do, though. They just be like, it's like George Clooney sells like coffee in Japan. Coffee in Japan, yeah. Whatever the hell he's doing. So.
Something caffeinated in Japan.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably caffeinated chewing gum. Yeah, no doubt. You know what they're like over there.
I know what they're like. Mm. I don't approve. But do you approve of Jurassic World 2, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
I bet it's going to be fine.
Yeah. So it's the director of A Monster Calls, which is which I haven't seen, but apparently it's a really good movie.
Okay.
With about a monster.
Oh, yeah.
But it might be in the mind. It might be about growing up or bullying as well.
So. Sounds boring. Make it an actual monster. Yeah. As we know from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, metaphors are for cowards. Metaphors. It's got to be a real monster.
Well, here's a coward for you, Mason.
Here we go.
People wanted us to talk about this, or maybe they didn't. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, we're only going to do it if they definitely don't want us to talk about it, because we're not cowards.
Daniel Day-Lewis is taking the coward's way out of acting by retiring at age 60. Mm. Did you hear about that?
Yes.
He's retired before. Remember he cobbled shoes for 15 years or whatever it was?
Yeah. For that role as a cobbler?
I don't know if he did. I think he just he just likes art. And him, for that 10 years, it was cobbling shoes. Mm. I like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Do you think maybe he was learning to be a cobbler so he could cobble himself a giant shoe and live in it?
Yeah,
and become a shoe?
Become a shoe. Mm. The world's greatest shoe. I don't know. I don't believe this.
Oh, my God, he's so good as a shoe, I wouldn't even need the other shoe.
He's all I need. Mm. I don't think he'll be gone forever. I think he'll come back at some point.
Yeah, but, probably in a Transformers movie.
Absolutely. Well, they seem to get very high-caliber actors, don't they?
Yeah.
He wouldn't do Transformers.
Maybe he would, though. Like, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have said, maybe we'll get to this later.
Sure.
But I wouldn't have said Sir Anthony Hopkins would have done a Transformers movie.
I would say that's way more likely than... Daniel Day-Lewis is the epitome of like an actor's actor.
Yeah, I know. But also I think I think there's ways to get into an actor's head like that.
Yeah.
And go, you know what the ultimate challenge would be? Is to be in a movie that's... Be in a movie that's total garbage. Not that I'm saying anything about a movie we're going to review later, but being a movie that's total absolute garbage, the worst one in the franchise so far, and see if you can somehow turn it around and have people praise your amazing performance in a garbage movie. I reckon if you pitched it to him like that, he would come out of retirement something crap.
He'd climb out of that shoe.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's right. Enough. He'd clomp his way onto set.
I don't think he would ever do that. Mm. Yeah, I think he'd only come back for like to do There Will Be Blood, but more acting.
He spends 10 years on the top of a shoe repair building as the giant shoe.
Oh, he's the world's greatest actor in shoe, isn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a shame, but he only does like a movie every 2 or 3 years anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
So I don't feel like he'll be gone forever.
Also, and maybe it's just me being under pressure because I've got this microphone in front of me.
Sure.
But if you said, name a Daniel Day-Lewis movie right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you
either. I'll give you a clue.
My Left Foot?
I haven't seen it.
Was he in My Left Foot?
I think he was.
Perfect!
I was going to give you a clue. That's a kill.
Yeah.
That's a kill.
Oh, yeah. That one. The Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Ironically, he was the right shoe.
In my right. Very good. I don't like Gangs of New York.
No, it's no good, is it?
It's not good.
No.
Anyway, here's something that might not be good. Carnage will be the villain of the Venom movie, it seems.
Great.
Yeah, sure. I mean, because if you're doing a Venom solo movie, you need someone worse than murderer Venom.
Yes, exactly.
So you get
right.
Mass murderer Carnage.
Correct.
It's perfect.
That's right.
It's the perfect crime or movie.
Mass murder.
Does that excite you any more or less for what they're doing or not doing? Depending if it gets a reboot before
less.
It comes out.
Yeah? I reckon less because...
Why is that?
I guess because it's the... Like, we've seen enough superhero movies at this point. We don't need the trope to be... Here's a character, and the villain of that hero has the same powers, more or less.
Right, right.
It's boring.
Yeah.
And it's going to end in a CGI fest of just tendrils whipping at each other, isn't it?
Sure, yeah, probably.
Unless they make Venom less tendrily.
Yeah.
In which case, he's just a bigger Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that's what it will be. I think Carnage will be more tendrily.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you seen Life, the movie Life?
No.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay.
There was also...
Did they get a release here?
I don't know.
But you've seen it.
I have seen
How'd you do that?
I saw it on a plane.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on a plane. Hey, yeah, which plane? Where was the plane going?
To a movie studio.
Studio. Yes. Wow. Huh.
So does that story check out?
That story absolutely checks out, yeah.
Did you see Kevin Feige get thrown under a bus in that...
Yes,
by
I
Amy
did,
Pascal
yeah.
in
yes.
that Spider-Man interview?
So she's from Sony.
She's the head of Sony or one
and
of,
she
yeah.
said something to the effect of, yeah, so... All Venom and Carnage and Black Cat and Silver Surfer, they're all going to exist in the Marvel Universe, aren't
Correct.
They?
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Feige's like,
Do you think, because he's also said before that it's separate.
Yep.
But I think it could work in the sense of, look, Sony would be mad to be like, this is completely separate. I mean, they would have seen the backlash of being like, you're just going to ruin everything again, Sony.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So I think what it will be, it'll just have very loose links to Spider-Man. So yep. Maybe it's in the MCU. Maybe it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, sure, right.
You know what I mean? Like, because they were going to put Oscorp Tower from The Amazing Spider-Man into the Avengers. Like, they didn't end up doing it. So
yeah,
that would
right.
have loosely linked them. So I think that's the kind of the way they're going to do this. Because after, I think it's Homecoming 2, mm-hmm. or maybe even Avengers 4.
Well, now, apparently it's going to go Avengers 4, then Homecoming 2.
Okay, right.
That's the order now.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that means that then their contract is up. So they can do whatever they want anyway. So mm-hmm. they could be like, well, this is linked to Spider-Man. Spider-Man is technically linked to the other uh-huh. stuff. So
this feels a little bit like a cry for help from Sony as well. Sort of like, they don't want to be like, we don't know what we're doing. So they're just like, it's going to be set in the same universe. And then Kevin Feige's like, and he gets off stage and he has to make some calls of like, hey guys, can you guys all come and work some overtime? You got to fix some films. Next couple of years, you're going to have to fix a whole bunch of films.
Though the word is, it's coming about some Spider-Man Homecoming, which actually Marvel did make, to be fair. Sony are just distributing it. And apparently it's very good.
Great.
The best since Spider-Man 2, which is the Spider-Man film that's great, but you still hate it or dislike it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You looking forward to it?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But are you looking forward to this even more? Get ready. Brace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Watchmen TV series coming to HBO.
That's the Watchmen that everybody wanted for many, many years.
Yeah.
Make it an HBO series. And people were saying that before Game of Thrones, before
Watchmen the movie.
Before Entourage.
Before Entourage.
The movie and the TV
before
series.
Before 2003 or yeah. whenever Entourage started.
I think so.
Okay.
Before Sex and the City.
But what, from like 97?
I don't know.
That's actually possible.
Well, I meant more that people have been asking for this before... HBO yeah. just started doing Game of Thrones and all weird sci-fi fantasy genre
yes.
stuff.
Yes, it was always said that, like, I know a few people tried to adapt it, and I think Terry Gilliam Ugh. Tried to do it at one point.
Sorry, that was rude to Terry Gilliam. What I meant was, most of Terry Gilliam's films, ugh, that's what I meant.
But I think he said something to the effect of, it shouldn't be a movie.
I like The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
The only movie of his I've seen is Brazil, and I hated it.
Yeah, it's no good.
So, but the thing that people are kind of being a bit cautious about is that it's Damon Lindelof who did Lost.
Right.
And people don't like Lost. And do you remember yeah. at the end of, well, that's not true. A lot of people are very dissatisfied with how it wrapped up. Even when Breaking Bad finished and everyone enjoyed that so much, they then took to Twitter to insult Damon Lindelof.
They sure did,
to be
yeah.
like, this is how you end a series.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah. But I think it's good. And I think it's also an opportunity to delve into the extra source material as well.
Sure.
Not that I've read any of that, but if you're making a series...
Oh, I thought you meant the pirate stuff.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah,
just
cool.
do it all. Absolutely, yeah. yeah.
What? Okay, but here's the thing, though. So the pirate stuff, which you can get on... The Curse of the Black Freighter, you can yeah. get on like the David and stuff, and it's sort of animated motion comic style stuff.
It's Jerry Butler. As the
do you think yeah. that if they do that for the TV series, they'll make it live action, or do you think they'll make it animated?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think they should make it full animated.
But I think because
it's
already...
a comic book that people are reading.
I guess
in the
that's
context
true.
Of the show.
But also because they already did it fully animated.
Yeah, right.
Like, is that? Do you not do that then?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Maybe you do a hyper-stylized Sin City style.
Oh, yes.
Whatever. Now, I can see why you would want to do it animated, but I don't know whether they will because they already did it like that.
Yeah,
then
right.
again, they already did Watchmen and they're doing it again. So.
Well, they might not do the comic book stuff at all.
Yeah.
But then if they don't do the comic book stuff at all, that's the whole thing's a metaphor for Ozymandias' journey to save the world, but and then he's destroyed the world. Spoiler alert.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. yeah. So do you think they're going to put the squid back in?
Yes.
They'll have to,
they'll have
they?
To because they can't do...
You can't,
they can't do
a faithful...
New, they yeah. can't do a new twist that is different from the original change. So it's going to have to be a
yeah.
faithful adaptation.
The twist can't be that you do the new twist from the movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Have you read any of the supplementary material?
Like before Watchmen?
Yeah.
Some of it.
And? It's a bit hit and miss, I've heard.
Yeah, I think we talked about this briefly before. Some of it's a bit hit and miss and they've changed some of the continuity of some of it, which I thought was odd. Like
comedian stuff, yeah?
Yeah, so in the comedian series... So in the original Watchmen, it's heavily implied he killed JFK.
Yeah.
In the movie, you literally see him disassembling a sniper rifle on the grassy knoll
yes.
after JFK's been killed.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, he definitely did do it. But in the comic, in the first issue of Before Watchmen, he is somewhere else when he's friends with JFK.
Yeah.
And he's somewhere else when JFK is killed.
And doesn't he then go to find the killer? Like killer or something?
Yeah, yeah, so...
They try to paint him as a more sympathetic character.
But that's
not
the point of that.
Isn't he a rapist? Or yes. An attempted rapist?
Yes!
And he shot, like, that... With a woman in Vietnam who had his baby or whatever.
Yeah, you don't have... Not everything... Not every character in a piece of fiction has to be a good person.
No.
You can hate a character. That's the, like, he's a, you know...
He's a bad bloke.
He's a bad person and he exists in that world. Yeah. So let's hear the story of him, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to think...
Also, he does get beaten up and hurled out a window to his death. So he does kind of get some comeuppance. In the end, or possibly right at the start. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do wonder how they're going to frame it. Like how they're going to tell this story.
Yeah.
Whether they will take it... way back to the very start. You could even tell the golden age of superheroes in this. And
that's true,
explore.
Yeah.
There's so much you could do.
Do you think they're going to call them... Because in the movie, it's the Minutemen.
Yeah.
And then... in the comic books, it's the Minutemen and the... I can't remember.
It's Minutemen and then a different thing.
It's a different thing. This, they're called the Watchmen.
Right.
Because they were like, why would we call it Watchmen if it isn't...
Yeah.
If the team in the movie isn't called the Watchmen.
But it's called the Watchmen because of the characters are the... Are the Watchmen? Is that why it's called Watchmen?
No, it's called Watchmen because they are metaphorically... Because you know the phrase, who watches the Watchmen?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is spray painted on a wall.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
Yes.
They're supposed to be the guardians of the world, but who's paying attention to them?
Yeah. Turns out, nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. No, I think this is good.
Yeah.
I think I'd be way more excited for it if we hadn't had the movie already.
Sure, right.
But hey, why not?
Yeah.
TV.
And again, the movie is quite divisive.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep. I like it too.
Levin, our friend Levin's hates it.
Yeah, he does.
Mm, yeah, he's wrong. No, he's probably
maybe
right.
Maybe he's right.
Yeah, he's probably right. There's room for everybody. What do you think they're going to do costume-wise?
Oh,
because in the comic book, it's kind of they're very super. They're classic superhero-y costumes. They're kind of soft and 60s Batman-esque.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they're kind of... Some of them are kind of...
It's goggled and Batman outfits.
Yeah, it's Batman and Robin style.
Yeah.
You know, goggles and bat nipples and what have you.
No, I think
armor.
they'll do the comic
version
of it. Because that's a very... Especially seeing his film since, but that's a very Snyder interpretation.
Yeah, right.
Especially when you look at Night Owl and then you look at Batman from the upcoming Justice League movie.
Yeah, right.
It's like the same goggles and kind of head,
yeah.
head thing. So no, I think they'll do... They'll adhere more closely to the comic, yeah.
I think maybe the flashback scenes are going to be like that, but I think maybe the modern day version, it's going to be more like, say...
Sin City.
Yes. just Band-Aids. Just Band-Aids in the face, the glow,
yeah.
Band-Aids. Maybe like Daredevil, like the modern day
right,
Daredevil,
okay,
like something
sure.
that's kind of like, you know, or like...
But a lot of those guys are pulling their... old gear out from
yeah, I guess
retirement,
that's true. Yeah,
so
you're
I don't know whether they'd have an updated suit.
Maybe you're right,
yeah.
That's true.
You know what I did give a go the other day, because we'll do it for Caravan of Garbage.
Oh,
I gave the Watchmen video game.
The beat-em-up? The side-scrolling
yeah.
beat-em-up?
No, it's like a Arkham-esque beat-em-up.
Oh, is it?
I've heard
it
was terrible.
It's, true, yeah.
It's not great, but I'm like, yeah, this is all right. I mean, right. it cost me like $5, $10 or whatever it was, and it's fine.
Wow.
So we'll do a bit of that.
Did you buy a physical copy?
No, I just downloaded it.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, I've been hoarding games. I don't know if you've noticed, but every time you come here, there's like a couple of new
you've
games.
Been hoarding
there.
Games, old newspapers.
Yep, correct.
Tissue boxes that
nail
are on your feet.
Nail clippings.
Yeah,
just
all, the
all
stuff,
of it.
Yeah,
yeah absolutely. Yeah.
Some people say that being alone in this house has driven you mad, but
no,
I think they're
no.
right.
I think it's made me more powerful in a way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? We're kind of cruising through this, mate. This might be a short episode.
No. I've got many things to say later. So many things.
Good. Fantastic Four is allegedly, apparently, potentially getting a reboot at
wow.
Fox. So it's still there, apparently. I thought it might have secretly gone back to Marvel, but nope.
Nope. That was the hope when we saw the Watches in,
yeah.
in the latest Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they have Galactus, apparently, and...
Wait,
Marvel have Galactus.
Oh, do they?
Apparently, yeah.
So this is going to be a Fantastic Four movie from Fox, who have historically never made a great Fantastic Four movie, except all the good Fantastic Four villains have been given over to Marvel.
Correct.
So they can't use any of them.
That's right.
So it's going to be the Fantastic Four arguing with Willy Lumpkin, their mailman,
yes,
for 2 hours.
Right.
Terrific.
But so this reboot's going to focus on not the Fantastic Four,
Great.
Twist.
Good start, actually.
Well, it might be because they've kind of done a lot of versions of it, haven't they? But this is going to focus on Franklin and Valeria, who are the children of Reed Richards and Sue Storm. Uh-huh. And Human Torch and the Thing will appear, but it's going to be a kid-friendly entry in the vein of The Incredibles. Uh-huh. Because as we all know, The Incredibles is the only good Fantastic Four movie.
Absolutely.
So it would make sense that they would borrow from something which did a better version of what they were doing.
Mm.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Okay.
Yeah, why not, eh?
Why not?
Yeah.
If they're not going to give it up...
Yeah.
It seems to me they've gone, okay, look, we have to make a Fantastic Four movie in order to keep our ownership of the Fantastic Four. What's the least amount of Fantastic Four we can put in this movie and retain the ownership?
Right.
And they've gone, two of them? Two Human Torch and Thing, that'll do.
Yeah.
And then the kids?
Yeah.
That adds up to four, I guess.
So that's right.
And the lawyer's there and like the lawyer is like looking, typing stuff and then looks up and just gives them a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, good.
We've met the quota.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is kind of smart because we've seen the origin multiple times now.
Uh-huh.
They've burnt kind of every version that they've given
really
a go.
Have, yeah.
And so now just jump ahead.
Sure.
And just kind of be like, they have kids and like the heroes exist in this universe, but it's a kid-friendly film that's going to focus
sure,
on.
Sure, right, okay.
I mean, I still don't think it'll probably be any good.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Fox have learned some lessons, mate. But also, sometimes they haven't learned lessons. It's
absolutely
confusing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think I remember us saying this when we saw the last one that, For me, I just wanted to see them keep failing at this forever.
Just keep
not giving it back to Marvel, but just every 4 years keep doing it and just getting progressively worse. Because they're all bad, but they're so differently bad.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
amazing.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
It's got to be a... Is it a tax write-off maybe?
Well, if they don't do it, they have to give it back.
Yeah, right.
So that's the... So, yeah. And it's probably a tax write-off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Mason, we... accidentally were at the forefront of breaking news the other week.
That's right. Weekly Planet Explosives.
I don't care for it, quite frankly. No, well, when I say that, I mean somebody sent us an anonymous tip and then we went, maybe this is true. Yeah, and it turns out that...
we'll believe what you say.
Yeah, it turns out it was. So it's basically that Phil Lord and Chris Miller have been fired from the Han Solo film.
Right. Is it nearly finished?
3 weeks left of principal photography and then 5 weeks left of reshoots, but it's on hiatus until mid-July for now.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a whole video on it, breaking down how it started and where it's at now. I'll link it below, so it'll be more comprehensive than whatever we kind of spew now, I feel, because I'm kind of burnt on it. But do you have any opinions on what's going on?
Well, I've read a Variety article.
Yeah.
Variety
of articles, you say? You went above and beyond. You read multiple articles.
No.
Go on.
I read one article.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's way more.
And Variety's site is really slow, and it, like the scrolling locks up when you scroll it. So I read maybe 3/4 of it, and then I stopped. But the point is that it was an article about how like auteur filmmaking is dead now in the year of... Because in the year of brands and franchise and stuff. You know, I'm always saying, what's a director do, really?
You do say that a lot.
I do say, and I think that's been proven true here.
Yeah.
Like... because back in the day, like, you had an auteur director and they were like, I want my movie to look like this and I want my characters to be like this and...
I think that's not always true. I think every era of Hollywood there is this kind of thing going
on. Sure, yeah.
But I see what you mean. Sorry, go on. Yeah,
but and so now we've got this thing of like, the producers come in and they say, okay, you've got to build this movie. It's got to have these set pieces, it's got to have these characters and this look, and it's got to fit in with the rest of the genre and the universe, and it's got to, you know, fit in with the next movie. We've got to do a tease for the next movie and etc.
Yeah.
And then you bring in the director, you go, okay, well, this director did a nice indie film and there were some fun characters in it and you got good performances out of them. So your job is to just come in and go, hey, act good, guys.
Yeah. Do this. Do what's on the thing.
Right.
And that it very much seems like a case of that. But it also feels like there was a real lack of communication between them and the producers and
right,
heads
sure,
up
sure.
Of Lucasfilm.
Because in terms of the directors wanted to it feels like they wanted to overstep their bounds.
Yes.
Not as you would imagine a director would, but
no.
More like to step on the toes of the producers and say, I would like a scene like this, and they're like, we've got no room for a scene like that.
They did, and as they do, if you see any of their other movies, they apparently did a lot of improv and a lot of kind of jokes on the fly. And if you've got Donald Glover, he's great at that.
Yeah, right.
So I'd imagine that that's kind of how that started. But also, as I say this in my video, you can't do that with a $150 million. You can do it with a $150 movie.
Absolutely.
Go nuts. But a production of this size,
yeah,
there's not a lot of wiggle room for that kind of stuff. There's a lot of
wheels
in motion.
Are you on the side of a big movie?
No, I'm on this. I think there's...
But I mean, there's...
We don't have all the information.
Yeah, but I think there's room for jokes that don't impact the plot, really.
Yeah, totally.
It's not like
Donald
Glover's improvising a scene in which Anakin Skywalker isn't actually Darth Vader or whatever. And then they're just like, oh my God, what did he... Because then also, if he did that, edit it out.
That's true.
Like, it's not like there are people in the producer's trailer going, oh my God, he said that and now we have to rewrite all the next three movies.
But let's say... apparently also the script is great, allegedly. Sure. Who knows? Uh-huh. And also, a good script doesn't necessarily translate to a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more likely, obviously.
Yes.
But if they're doing... If they do the bare minimum of the script, be like, okay, say these lines. Right, now we're just going to go do some crazy stuff.
Right.
Maybe they should be spending a bit more time trying to get what's on the page,
mm-hmm,
like translate that to the screen, as opposed to, you know, doing... I don't know whether this happened, but... Do a bit of that and then just try and improv for an hour.
What you're suggesting is that the Lord and Miller came on, like they came on set and they had a big ceremonial waste paper basket and they showed everybody that they were holding the script and they just dump it in the bin and all the cast and crew are like, yeah.
I'm not saying that Disney are right. That's not what I'm saying. But I just think there was some miscommunication here and you need, if you're going into a movie like this, as the directors...
Mm-hmm.
You must know that there's going to be a lack of flexibility that you would get on certain projects.
Sure, right.
And if also, one of the rumors was that the Han Solo portrayal was too humorous and it was almost like an Ace Ventura kind of wackiness.
Oh, I see, right.
So if it's getting to that point...
He's in the back of a Banther or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's what I put that in my video.
Opening bloody...
Yeah. So like I understand where they're coming from. I understand where everybody's coming from on this.
Right.
It's an unfortunate situation.
Uh-huh.
But I get it. Like I understand why if it got to that point, I can see why they were let go.
Yeah, right.
I understand it. Yeah. I'm not saying whether or not the movie we're going to get is it going to be better. But like Ron Howard to me hasn't made a good movie in a while. Who's stepped in? I saw Rush recently.
Uh-huh.
That's a great movie, but I didn't see the real Moby Dick story or whatever else. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like So I think he's just there to kind of like facilitate, you know. Well, the rumor is, well, there's theory that because Lawrence Kasdan wrote the script with his son, who wrote the main draft of Empire Strikes Back, that he couldn't direct it because there's like rules in the director's guild.
Oh, I see, right.
So they're like, they get Ron Howard in, but it's not really Ron Howard. He's just kind of doing a favor and Lawrence Kasdan's kind of doing more of the direction. But yeah. But that being said, I'd rather see a wacky, fun, you know, crazy Han Solo, Ace Ventura movie than just a boring, bland origin movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I don't know who's it. I don't know. Yeah.
I reckon the movie's in bloody fine shape.
Is that what you think?
Ron Howard voice. It wasn't.
This is one of my favorite things to come out of it. This is from the Pixelated Boat Twitter account. I think everyone should follow it. It's very funny. But he made this fake Hollywood Reporter headline that says, Disney fires Han Solo directors for insisting the Chewbacca costume has to have a real bear inside it and and not a tame bear. It has to be the world's most dangerous bear.
That's pretty good. speaking of, not dangerous bears, but... So Star Wars Episode 9 is going to be directed by Colin Trevorrow of Jurassic World.
Yes.
Now, did you hear he's got an indie movie out now called The Book of Henry?
Yeah, it's
real weird and bad.
Well, I think that doesn't bode well for him going into Star Wars because they're not going to put the same trust in him as they did Rian Johnson. That's the other thing. Rian Johnson came out and said, I've had as much freedom on Episode 8 than I have any of my movies. But I think a lot of that also comes down to his vision adheres with what they're doing.
And also, I don't know if you know this, but all of Rian Johnson's movies were intended to be Star Wars movies, but he's just such a bad director that he could never, he's never had the money. So they've always, they've ended up being like, you know, a movie about a teen in high school has to solve a murder. It's about some con artists, bloody time travel. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, wow. So every time he's aimed for a Star Wars movie, but he's accidentally made something else.
That's right.
Well, that's not good,
is it? It's rough, right?
Yeah. Does this decrease or increase your interest in this movie?
Decrease.
Yeah.
Because it'll just be... Like, I've always thought that the... You know, we get the epic sweeping scope of the new trilogy. Mm. That's, you know, that's going to be in the mold of the Star Wars movies, and there's destiny and there's fate and there's action and everything's hugely dramatic. And there's some laughs, but it's this big straight-ahead action epic.
Yeah.
And the ones in between can be anything.
Right, yeah.
Like, that was always the impression that I got it was going to be. But now I guess they all have to be exactly the same format.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. But also, if the script is as good as they say, then maybe that's why they want
to... Yeah, maybe.
...keep it that way. Yeah, but, of course, you're not going to be like, yeah, the script is shit. I read it, and we shouldn't do it. But anyway, we'll have to see. It'll be... we'll probably never really know what the original version was, because there's... There are hours of footage from Rogue One, which we will never see.
Yeah.
You know, there is a whole other movie that they shot. Mm. Yeah. And I wonder how much, because they've got 8 weeks left. They could reshoot most of it if they wanted to.
Ron Howard voice. They won't.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah. I know. Also, apparently, this is interesting. One of the stories cited, Alden Ehrenreich was the one who brought Disney's attention to it.
Oh, I see. He ratted him out. The man himself. You know why? He's probably a bad improv. He's probably improv guy. So, like, they'd be like, Donald Glover would say a funny line, and then, you know, somebody else would say a funny line, and then it'd cut to him, and he's just like, ugh! And then one day later, he's like, he's calling up, he's ratting him out. He's like, they're making me make stuff up. This isn't my job.
It's very possible, because there's a good chance that Donald Glover will steal this movie from him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which is fine. Mm. I mean, not for him. He'd hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I had something else to say about it.
Man, not make a Lando movie.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see
what this was going to be.
Well, the Lando comic was really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like, no, I want to see what kind of shenanigans he's kind of get up to. He's gambling away and, you know, he's like a...
Because he doesn't have, like, he has a much smaller arc in the movies.
Yeah.
So his backstory can be anything.
Mm.
All the, you know.
Yeah. Swindler, heist man.
Exactly.
Con man.
Yep.
How did he get a Cloud City? Where'd he get it?
Yeah, that's right.
Did he make it? Maybe.
Yeah, real tricky. He has to parachute out of a ship and build a piece at a time. So many trips.
But also, one more thing. Apparently the reason they didn't realize this wasn't going well was because day-to-day the footage that was coming in looked great. But then when they put together assembly cut, they were like, oh, this doesn't gel at all.
Oh, I see,
this is with like a weird series of skits.
Yeah.
Kind of loosely connected.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. They should have used a real bear, though.
Yeah, right.
That would make a much more interesting movie.
So good.
All right.
Have you heard... What was that movie back in the day, like in the 60s or the 80s or the 70s? It's one of those. A time that isn't now, where it was a movie about a family who lived with actual lions. Do you remember that? Like, I was going to say Daryl Hannah was in it, but I don't think she was.
I think you're thinking that Tarzan movie.
No.
Or Clan of the Cave
Bear. It was a movie, and it was... I'm going to look it up.
Was it like a Disney... One of those Disney kind of...
Potentially. But it has like...
Is it a real family who lived with real lions, or is it like...
No,
a
it's a, like a
documentary.
Like a, it's like a fictional story.
Yeah.
About this family who live with all these wild animals, and they just put wild animals on the set, and like lions and stuff, and people were attacked by lions. It's got a famous person. I'm gonna look it up.
A famous dead person, probably.
Yeah, probably. No, she's still alive. Look, anyway, continue with whatever you're talking about.
I have nothing else to say.
Okay.
We're just going to wait until you figure
out. Okay, I'm going to Google
this movie from the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Movie with actual lions. Here we go.
I'm ready.
All right. I found it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. Roar is a 1981 American adventure exploitation film written and directed by Noel Marshall, blah, 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 blah. Produced by and starring Marshall and his then-wife, Tippi Hedren, and co-starring Hedren's real-life daughter, Melanie Griffith. That's who I'm talking about. And Marshall's real-life sons, John and Jerry. The film follows a family who are attacked by a range of ravening jungle animals at the secluded home of their keeper.
In the secluded home of their keeper. Okay, so they're not living with them. They just kind of get... They're there and they get attacked.
Raw became notorious for its troubled 11-year production.
11 years!
Which resulted in 70 members of its cast and crew being injured by the many predatory animals used in the film, including its main stars sustaining life-threatening injuries ranging from bone fractures to scalpings and gangrene.
What?
Much of the footage capturing the injuries was included in the final cut of the film, resulting in real blood on screen. It has been considered the most dangerous film shoot in history.
You just put a sheet of glass between them.
No.
We should do. We should do an episode on like. Like really bad movie sets and things like that. Right? Yeah.
The film was released theatrically in Europe in 1981, but was a financial failure. It was released theatrically in the United States for the first time in 2015.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
2015.
That's weird, right? That it took 11 years to make this film.
Yeah.
And it's the most dangerous film ever.
And then 34 years to...
We've never heard... Yeah, it took 34 years to come out, and now nobody knows what it is, right? That's weird.
Well, you're the only one who knows, but you don't really know.
No, that's right.
You couldn't remember...
I mean, it sounds scary.
You couldn't remember the name or the era or who was in it.
Or who was in it, yeah? Mandela effect, man.
That's what it is. Well, Mason, Scoops are... Things are on a hot streak with Scoops.
Yes.
We did one. I'm gonna roll the dice.
Poor man's hat trick.
That's right.
Extremely poor man's hat trick. One correct thing.
We got another anonymous email. This is relating to the future Marvel project.
Oh yes.
This could very well be fake.
Yeah.
But hey, when you're on the hot streak.
Yeah.
And even if this is wrong, 50% is pretty good.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Then we're on tepid streak.
Tepid streak.
Which is just as good.
Yeah. I'll read the email. Hey there, love the podcast. Just wanted to give you guys a scoop.
Hell, here we go.
This is sent from a burner email, so nobody can get in trouble, yes. Specifically this person.
Uh-huh.
So here we go. I thought you'd be interested to know that Marvel is currently in the
big
early...
Big tip-off 69 at hotmail.com.
That's right. Currently in the early stages of developing a Howard the Duck movie.
Uh-huh.
I know, insane, right? Concept art and a script treatment is currently being developed as we speak. A director has been selected and is about to sign on the dotted line, and James Gunn is currently acting as a producer. Marvel are not sure they'll bring back Seth Green, as the feeling is he's not a big enough name since his previous appearances were so short they could recast him and no one would notice, but Gunn is pushing for them to stick with it. The original intention was to have a director and lead in place for an announcement at this year's D23, which doesn't seem likely if they haven't signed on either for sure. But it's possible my information is a touch behind. Anyways, even if you dub this to be utter nonsense, might be worth discussing. But if not, I understand. Keep up the good work. A friend.
Oh.
What do you think of that? Do you think there's a chance that could be true? I feel like James Gunn would be, if he's leading up the cosmic side of the universe,
yeah.
I feel like he's kind of mad enough to push for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time he did say this doesn't mean anything. When he first appears at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1, I think they said, yeah, this doesn't mean anything. This is just a fun little gag we thought we'd put in. But then he reappeared in 2, right?
He was in the robot brothel.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. I don't know.
You've never seen a duck have sex with a robot before, Mason? What are you, a prude?
I'm very sheltered. A very sheltered life. Maybe. I mean, people lost their minds.
Yeah.
And Marvel's, I think, pretty good at, you know, throwing something out there and seeing whether people bite on it and then going, all right, fine.
Infinity Gauntlet, then I guess we're doing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's kind of how that kind of started.
Yeah.
No, look, again, this could be an elaborate trick, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there could be some validity to it. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't happen, we could just say, well, they must have decided not to do it. And then
nice. Because we were so influential. We sprung the story and James Gunn himself was like, can't do it now. They've forced our hands.
That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
First Pacino was Ego the Living Planet.
Now this.
Shakes his fist at the sky.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there we go. That's another segment of hot scoops.
Hot scoops.
Too hot. Get them out there. Yeah, I feel like we're going to get a lot of these now. This is going to be lying forever.
Yep. Yeah. We should call it Hot Scoop or Lie.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know what is good about this?
Yes.
That there is a silver lining in this Transformers film.
Yes.
It made $63 million in its opening weekend.
Which is not good,
which
right?
Which is not I'm good. Learning. I mean, it's good, but yes. It's the lowest Transformers US opening ever, and Age of Extinction did $100 million.
Right.
So that's a big drop. And also, it opened on Tuesday. So that's a long
time. So it's had a long time
weekend.
To not make that much money. Right, okay.
Now, should I talk about how I've been temporarily barred from Paramount screening?
Yes. If nothing else we talk about in this episode, we should definitely talk about that.
Okay, so what happened was there was a Transformers screening.
Like an official one.
Like an official one. And so I ticked off me and you to go.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, there's one around the corner from me. And because I was, you know, I was by myself with my kid for the 2 weeks, I'm like, I won't drive into the city.
Yep.
I'll just go and see that and then I'll just review it.
And you said, would I like to go to that one instead of the media one? And then I remembered the one close to you has a pizza joint in it.
That's right.
Where I can get a little pizza and a full-sized garlic bread and bring him into the cinema. So I said, I'll go to that one as well.
Absolutely. So I emailed them back and said, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, but no, I can't. So anyway, so I went and saw it on Tuesday night at a public screening.
And you said to me, the great part about this is if I went to the media screening, there'd be an embargo on my review and I couldn't just review it straight away.
Yeah.
But if I go to this public screening, I can. And I said, that's an interesting loophole. Are you sure that's correct? And you said, yes, that's definitely
I was
great.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So basically I got home and I put my review out and it is, look, it's a brutal review. I don't know if you've seen it. Like, it's not kind. Uh-huh. I don't think I say one nice thing about it. But anyway, the embargo apparently broke at 9 a.m. here, which I didn't really check it because I'm like, well, I don't need to know that anymore. Uh-huh. And then I got an
email. I found a loophole. I'm in the clear.
Yeah, I got an email at 5 to 9 which said, you've broken the Transformers media embargo by several hours.
Uh-huh.
You need to take down your review.
Yes.
So I emailed back. I was like, hey, guy.
Yep.
I understand. Like, I see where you're coming from, but I actually went to a public screening. Uh-huh. Here's my ticket. So I sent them my ticket. But look, if you still want me to take it down, I will. That's fine. That's fine with me. And they said, oh, no, actually, it's past the embargo time now. But because you initially signed that you were going, even though you then said that you weren't,
right, okay.
That still counts as breaking the embargo.
Ooh.
And I said, well, look, fair. It's your show. So if you want to, you know, that's fine. If you want to stop me from going to see movies with you guys, I get it.
Yeah, sure.
I get him for free.
Yep.
And so basically I got an email back and he was very nice and he said, oh, listen, the word has come from the higher ups that we're going to give you a temporary kind of hiatus.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're being put in time out.
I've been put
in
time out
in the naughty corner
for a few months. And he was very nice about it. It wasn't aggressive. It was just, this is how it is. And I went,
imagine if he was. Maybe if you got a call from block number and you're like, hello. And he's like, you son of a bitch. I know where you live.
Yeah, so now I can't see.
Or it's just somebody's just tapping on your windows.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, I guess this could have gone way worse than what it did. Because I guess I don't know. I feel like because I told them I wasn't going that I'm kind of in the clear.
Right.
But I understand where they're coming from. And like I said, it's their show. But it may have been a different situation if I had have said kind things, but I did not. So yeah, there you go. Right. I also didn't think anybody would really notice either. Like, okay. No, that's not true. When it, when I got the email, I was surprised that anybody noticed, because right. I kind of forgot that, oh no, like 100,000 people saw this.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, do you want to just do all spoilers, because who cares?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll start with this. What did you think the story was?
I can answer this. There's a magic thing, and the good guys have to get it before the bad guys get it.
Yeah.
Now, which Transformers movie am I referring to there?
This one and all ones.
All the other ones, yeah.
Including the cartoon.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you like this film at all?
No. Oh, okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this movie and the plot of this movie.
Yeah.
So this movie is barely a Transformers movie.
Yeah. It's less Transformers movie than the other Transformers movies.
Yeah. So as far as, like, the plot goes, there's so few trans... Okay, so here's what I liked about this movie initially. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, the first couple of minutes, I'm like, oh, maybe they've improved some stuff. Like, one of the things that I hated in all the previous ones is that all the Decepticon character models look exactly the same.
Yes.
They're just sort of grey and brown and they look like crabs.
Yes. Right?
But in this one, early on we see Barricade, who was the police car one from the first one.
Yep.
And he's got...
Who I thought was dead, but I guess I looked it up and he didn't...
Oh, great.
He was not dead.
Good on him.
Anyway, go on.
But then when he transforms into a robot, he still keeps the blue and white color scheme.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I could recognize him from, you know, in a battle
sequence.
Some
of the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, Megatron has a new character, like a face model.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can sort of recognize facial expressions in this character now.
Right.
So maybe it's going, but then the rest of the Decepticons are just, the design is just like, they're covered in graffiti and gold chains and green mohawks. Like, they're all Suicide Squad extras.
That was very evident.
Yeah,
especially
right?
in the introduction of them.
Yeah.
How Suicide Squad was that?
So Suicide Squad.
Why would
Squad.
You steal that part from Suicide Squad in particular?
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm. Actually, I didn't mind that in Suicide Squad. I was like, oh, that's a fun little introduction.
It's kind of comic booky, yeah.
But they're all the same, and they're all really expendable. So
yeah,
why
exactly.
be like... Well, I don't even know what any of their names were. What were some of their names?
One was called Nitro Zeus.
Yeah, Nitro Zeus, but...
It was probably a bone breaker or a bone shaker.
Yeah.
You had to guess.
And one of them also wasn't let out, which was they're like...
That's right, yeah.
I thought that bit I didn't mind.
Okay.
Because so Megatron's dealing in getting some of his Decepticons released for whatever reason. Because, I don't know, because Autobots, Transformers are outlawed and hunted, but also the government is okay with working with just the Decepticons.
That's right.
Just the worst ones.
Yeah, right.
It makes zero
strange.
Sense, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so the plot of this movie, so there's so few Transformers and so little transforming in the movie, which I feel we'll get to later.
And it's mostly in the middle where that happens.
But I feel I would be willing to bet a lot of money that this wasn't a Transformers script initially, and they added, like, it was like a fantasy action adventure film that somebody already had,
right.
and then they tacked on Transformers last minute. Because as we know, there is now a Transformers think tank script machine of like various people who are just there to build more Transformers plots. Apparently Robert Kirkman was in it for 5 minutes and then he had to leave because of foot surgery. And then he's since come back.
Here. I've got foot surgery.
For how long? Months and years.
Forever.
Yeah. But what I think, so what if, with this movie, if you take out if you take out Mark Wahlberg's character in his entirety, and like the first, like the better part of an hour it takes him to get to London, or England, where all the action takes place, and then you take out all the Transformers, what this movie is, it's a movie about a woman who doesn't believe in the mythic history of England, who discovers that magic is real, and as the last descendant of Merlin, has to find a mystical artifact that only she can use to save Earth from, like, a supernatural force from another world. So if you take out, like, a third of this movie, there's still a full movie in it.
Right. I mean, it's barely a plot. But you're right.
But
that's
they got this think tank together, and they were like, you got any ideas? And somebody had, like, a Game of Thrones, Mother of Dragons meets... Tomb Raider meets National Treasure, and they went home on Friday and they added Transformers in, and then on Monday morning he was like, here you go, and he gave it to Michael Bay, and Michael Bay's like, well, this is massively bloated and overlong, and if we take out any of the Merlin stuff, it won't make any sense, or it'll make less sense than it normally would. Perfect.
Let's
You've written the perfect Transformers movie.
I'm already filming it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was, okay, so, and the opening sequence is, it's straight away, it kicks off with the Arthurian. Is that how you say
that? Yeah, so this is Transformers throughout history.
Yes, which I kind of like that they've kind of always kind of been here, even though it contradicts a bunch of other stuff that happens in the movie. But that there's an opening battle sequence where it's just people fighting greasier people.
Yeah, right.
But it's also, it keeps kind of switching sides so you don't know who's kind of who in the battle.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not shot very well. And then Stanley Tucci playing a cockney drunk Merlin.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci is back as Merlin.
Yeah.
As the people are like, oh, Merlin's not real. He was a combination of other people. But in this, Merlin is real. And he's not really a wizard. He's just some dude. But also,
he's like, blimey, I'm sozzled.
Yeah, but he's just playing a guy from 2017.
Yes.
As Merlin. Like, it would be funny if he were Merlin, but it makes no sense as to why he speaks like a modern day person.
Yes,
he
doesn't. Yeah.
Whereas everybody else speaks like, you know, how we would imagine that people of that era spoke.
Yeah.
So it's just like, are you from another time or what's happening? Are you Stanley Tucci from Transformers 4?
Well, that's weird.
And he drank
it?
Too much of that weird Korean milk, and now
you're tripping.
You're tripping. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is this an hallucination? That would make more sense.
You know, it would have been the only payoff to that could have been that the Stanley Tucci from Transformers 4 was the descendant of Merlin who needed to get the staff.
Exactly.
That's the only reason that would make sense.
Yeah.
And so I guess one of the big draw cards of this movie is that there's a dragon in it, like a robot dragon. But there was kind of a robot dragon in the last one. I mean, it was a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But I was speaking to a friend of mine last night. It was like, what's Transformers like? And I'm like, it's no good, but every one of them has like a thing to get people in, except this time I don't think it worked. And he was like, what was the last one? I'm like, it was a dinosaur. And he's like, what's this one? I go, it's a dragon.
Yeah, right.
And he laughed.
Is that the new draw card? I think the draw card in this is that Optimus Prime is going to fight Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
which is 1 minute.
Yeah.
It's 1 minute at the end.
It's not a terrible fight. It's fine.
Mm.
But also, if you like Optimus Prime, too bad, mate.
He's not in it.
He's sort of in it at the start. It turns out that he did freeze when he went straight. He went into space, froze, and then floated to Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turns out there was one robot woman there.
Yes.
Who was his creator. Also, I was reading an interview with somebody who, one of the story group people, who said she's actually originally from Earth. And she's a human. So humans created Transformers, but that doesn't make any sense either, because the Transformers were around during the age of the dinosaurs, which means humans had to exist before dinosaurs, unless there's time travel, which maybe there is.
It's almost like the people writing the script don't know what they're doing or talking about.
Yeah, this needs a reboot.
Yeah.
Big time. Mm. So I would have
done. Have we really got into the plot yet? We kind of haven't.
I guess so. So the plot is they need to get Merlin's staff.
So there's two MacGuffins in this movie, right?
Mm.
So the first one is that Mark Wahlberg is Autobot Jesus.
Yes.
Because every one of these movies requires somebody to be Autobot Jesus.
Shia LaBeouf was Autobot.
Probably Optimus Prime was at some point. Anyway, so
he is Autobuff, isn't he?
He is very Autobuff.
I thought he was going to get Transformers armor.
So basically,
it's just a sword.
So he's given a medallion that makes him Autobot Jesus. And then,
because he's chased, which they make a big joke of him not having sex for a while.
And then,
that's funny, isn't it?
It is funny. But at the end, he makes a sword and everybody's very impressed, and that's it. There's nothing else to. So that is a complete write-off. So the second MacGuffin in this movie is, so the King Arthur and his merry men
are in the
Dark Ages in the 400 AD or whatever it is.
Yep.
And then they need a weapon to defeat the Saracens or the Visigoths or whoever they're fighting. It doesn't matter.
The greasy.
And so Merlin goes off to find a weapon.
Yeah.
Because they say he's magic, but he's not really magic. So he goes to a cave where he knows the Transformers are hanging out.
Yep.
And then a mysterious red robot.
Yeah.
Who, it's never revealed, you never see his face, because who is it? It's nobody. They make a point of keeping his face out of shot. So I spent the whole movie going, oh, does this turn out to be Bumblebee or Hot Rod or something?
Yeah.
Like, is it a
Ultra Magnus?
Ultra Magnus. It could be any number of characters, and at the end we go, oh, was that
And he's
guy
red,
along?
Which means he's probably somebody, because the coloured ones are somebody.
Exactly,
generally.
They're always somebody. But then he's never anybody. He's just a knight. He's just one of the twelve knights of cyber, whatever. And he gives Merlin a staff, and he says, with this staff, you can turn the tide of battle because it summons a dragon. You can control the dragon.
Yeah, and even though we're the dragon?
That's exactly the point. So that guy, he's the red transformer is the dragon because the Knights of Cybertron combine into the dragon.
Yeah.
So he's basically, he has enough free will to give Stanley Tucci a stick that controls him. Wouldn't he just say, we've had a chat and we've agreed to help you?
Yes.
It'd be like if...
It would be different if the dragon was separate from him.
Yeah, if it was in the bowels of the earth or something and yeah. it came up. But it'd be like if I said, hey, can you? I'm going away, can you house sit for me? Hold on to this TV remote.
Yeah.
Just FYI, if you push the green button, I'm going to fight somebody. Wherever I'm going to fight somebody. So, but don't. Oh, and just to be clear, if you put the remote in the wrong room, if you leave it there, the world's going to end.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's its second function of the staff, is if you stick it in Stonehenge, all the geothermal energy of the Earth will go to Cybertron and the world will end.
Because the Earth...
is Unicron. Which is like they went... because in Transformers the movie...
why is the Earth Unicron?
In Transformers the movie from the 80s, Unicron was the evil, the biggest evil...
Orson Welles.
Transformers, Orson Welles voice Transformer that was coming to Earth to destroy Earth
yeah.
and consume it. So in this, they just went, oh, just reverse them.
But also, that kind of kills any... this is another reason why they need to reboot this.
Yeah.
The Earth has horns like Unicron right. has horns.
Yes.
If we can never see Unicron without destroying the Earth.
In its entirety, yeah.
If he somehow separates himself from the Earth is in pieces.
Yes, right.
If he transforms, the Earth is ruined.
Yeah, right.
Everybody flies off into space.
Uh-huh.
So the Earth is a transformer,
yep.
but we can never see that because it will destroy everything.
I think what somebody said to somebody, people want Unicron.
Just make what's coming to Earth Unicron.
Yeah, I know, but
why do we need Cybertron twice? This already happened.
This is the same plot as 3.
It's the same plot as 3.
Back to the stick.
Okay.
Merlin's magic stick. There's no reason for it to exist. Like, in the first movie, I don't remember all the MacGuffins of the other movies, but in the first one, there's the AllSpark,
yeah.
right? And if you have the AllSpark, you can make new Transformers. And if the AllSpark is destroyed, you can't make any new Transformers. So there's a point to it existing.
Yes.
But this Merlin staff doesn't do anything. Like, if it shot lasers or it healed the sick or it...
Made Transformers or whatever,
then there would be a reason to keep it around.
Yeah.
But the Knights are like, we like humans and we want them to stick around. And this stick will destroy their planet, so let's blow it up. Let's just break it in half. Clearly the villain doesn't have the technology to build her own.
No.
Otherwise she would have done it.
Yeah.
So why have it around?
Also, is it such a bad thing if the villain destroys Unicron?
Yeah, good point.
Because he's no good, is he?
I guess.
He's bad
No,
news.
I think they just want... I think somebody just said to a producer, people want Unicron, and they were like, what's Unicron? And they went, it's a big planet transformer. And they went, let's make it Earth.
I don't think
they'll ever reference it again.
You're probably right. Yeah. Even though the Earth has giant fucking horns sticking
sure,
out of
right,
it
yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
But also, you could have got more people in if you said, there is a planet in this movie that turns into a man.
Yeah, right.
Everybody would have come to that,
yeah.
except they didn't. They really dropped the ball.
I reckon if they bring Unicron back for the next movie, what'll happen is the horns will go back in, and then he'll come out of the ocean or something.
Yeah,
and
right.
he'll be big, but he won't be planet sized.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess that's fine. I guess
it's fine. I guess.
Well, he's not as big as most planets, is he?
Yeah.
Is that? I don't really remember.
No, he's big enough.
It's like his moon sized.
Yeah,
or,
like
or
a moon,
maybe a
like
bit
a
bigger.
Moon,
yeah. But I think this movie, like, it's bad.
Yeah.
But I think if you,
taking a stand there.
I am.
It's a bad movie.
No, but if you enjoy these movies, I think a lot of people who like these Michael Bay movies, it's bad by those standards.
Oh yeah.
And people are turning on it because it's not even as good as the other ones.
Yeah, this is the worst
like,
one.
Like, it's I think it absolutely is the worst one. It's not as weird and leering. As a lot of the other
right,
ones.
Right, right, yeah.
We should mention that. Okay, so there's a girl in this who's basically Rey from Star Wars. She's kind of a girl.
Except she's 14.
Except she's 14, and she's kind of living with Transformers, and she's helping Transformers, and her only family is a Transformer which dies. And then she's like, who's left? You're either Transformer. You've got two.
You've got two,
which
exactly.
Like, nobody,
yeah. You've got a C-3PO or a BB-8.
Yeah,
got
or whatever.
Like that.
Exactly. It's clearly like just a rip-off of Star Wars. But she's in the movie for the first like 20 minutes and then she disappears. And then
again,
she reappears
that first, the first bit,
yeah.
because the whole thing is that the staff is in England
yeah.
that we need to get to. So Mark Wahlberg has to get to England. But he doesn't.
No.
Because you could have just had the female character whose name I cannot recall.
Yeah. She's Peter Quill's mum.
Oh, yeah, she is too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you could... You don't
I actually thought she was
it.
Okay in this.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, I mean, she's clearly... They've gone just Megan Fox her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
she's got the Megan Fox look.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is something I didn't... This somebody pointed this out to me recently, like this week.
Mm.
Megan Fox's character in those movies is called Michaela Baines.
Right.
In a movie directed by Michael Bay. It's him as a girl.
Well, weird, right? Well, Mark Wahlberg dresses and has the hair of Michael Bay.
Right.
He's got the trucker's cap and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
And or the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible 2 hair.
Yeah, right.
What's also... So, yeah, there is that opening sequence where... It's a dystopian present day, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Only one part.
In the junkyard where he lives.
Yeah.
Only in that very small, like it's a...
And Chicago.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Or whatever.
Because I can't remember, because they're against the Transformers again, but I can't remember how Transformers 4 ended. Didn't it end with the Autobots saving everybody?
Yeah, and Optimus Prime flew into space and Mark Wahlberg cried.
Yeah, right.
But and I remember us saying at the time, we will never see the Dinobots again.
Yeah, we did
but
say
we,
that, yeah.
We do, but to no effect.
But there's also little baby Dinobots
for no reason.
They're never explained.
Do they grow?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess.
Yeah.
But there is, I know, you turned Gabby a bloody bit of a wink and a nudge because we got your favourite thing in the Transformers movies, which is just Transformers roughhousing.
Yeah. Let's talk about the characters of Transformers 5. Transformers.
Yep.
There aren't any.
No.
There's one. There's Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Who seems to be enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, I think they gave him $1 million to just prance about.
Be British.
Yeah, be British. But, one of the criticisms I've had of these movies is that the Transformers are thousands or possibly millions of years old, but they all act like children.
Yeah.
But
they're always vaguely threatening each other and tussling.
Yeah, but I think I've refined. I don't think that's correct. What it actually is that every character, no character in any of these movies acts like an actual human being, yes. including any of the human beings.
Yes, that's right.
None of the when you watch one of these movies, the reason they're so off-putting in my mind is, and the reason my head hurts after I've watched all these movies is because none of these characters feel like they exist outside of the scenes that they're in. Like, they always... It's always like they're just waiting around. Like, we go to this... There's a scene early on in the junkyard, and Mark Wahlberg shows up at the junkyard.
Yeah.
And then the three Autobots that aren't Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, they just pop out of three different points in the junkyard, and they're like, hey, look at me! Here's my characteristics! Like, what were they doing before that? They were just... Must have been... sitting under piles of junk, motionless and silent.
Yes, that's right.
Until they have to interact with another character in the plot, at which point they... Like, well, everybody's just silent and doesn't do anything and stays out of the way until another character comes along they have to interact with. And then they just yell exposition at each other and around each other.
That's like a 20-minute
until there's
wacky
a, yeah, until there's a
sequence.
Fight or like a scene change.
Oh, God.
So what this movie could have done with... is instead of this where they just like, hey, it's me and I'm an army guy, oh, I've dropped a grenade, it's gone off kind of thing. Instead of that, there should have been a scene in the junkyard where the three other Autobots are sitting down with each other and they are saying, I don't think Bumblebee is doing all right as a leader. I think maybe we should talk to him about it. Maybe we can have a vote to see if another person's a leader, you know, blah, blah, blah. But instead, what we get, it's always like...
But also the leader of what?
Yeah. But what we get is like Bumblebee will be standing there and another Autobot will just run at him and go, you'll never be as good a leader as Prime. And then they'll scuffle.
Yeah.
They'll just scuffle with each other.
Not like... Not seriously. It's just a... It's a tussle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no good. Did you notice there was a moment where... it got a little bit creepy with that girl, and then they pulled right back.
No.
Like, you know, there's like that boy with glasses is following around the girl,
yeah,
and he's like, oh, she's beautiful. Who is she? I want to marry her.
That's probably Michael Bay's 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, you're my girlfriend or whatever. And I was like, oh, this isn't, don't do this again. But they, to his credit, he pulls right back from that. Like, I thought that was going to get real weird like it did in the last one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. And I know... I think this movie also has the problem, and we talked about this directly after we came out of it. There's in that chase sequence, it's very unclear what Transformers are in it.
Yeah, all right.
And also which of the cars are Transformers.
Okay, so let's go through the sequence. All right. So everybody has to get to England.
Yep.
And it takes a really long time. And then everybody has to go to Sir Anthony Hopkins' castle because we all want to be bored to death by exposition. So
it's a long.
So
save.
the people that get to the castle are Bumblebee. Well, yep. They're humans, but who cares?
Yep.
Bumblebee.
Yep.
Hot Rod, who's the new Transformer in this one.
French.
Yep. And then there is a third Transformer who's like a World War I tank.
Yeah.
And he transforms into like a doddery old Transformer who's like, oh, I'm falling over. I go. That's my personality, right? And for a minute there, it also seems like Anthony Hopkins has dementia as well.
Yes.
He's very confused for a minute about years about and dates
when
and people.
He met Bumblebee or...
But then it's never referred to again. But so I think maybe they were mucking around and they're like, how about we do this? And then they decided against it. But they're like, this take was funny, so let's put it in. Doesn't matter, it makes no sense. Anyway, they go in, we're bored to death by exposition for a bit.
Yep.
And then the army shows up to attack the Transformers and get him or what have you.
Yes.
And they're like, let's get out of here. So it cuts to the front of the castle again, mm-hmm. and we've got the humans, who cares?
Yep.
We've got Bumblebee.
Yep.
We've got Hot Rod.
Yep.
And a third Transformer who isn't the dementia-riddled Transformer from before. It's a different Transformer.
Is it definitely a different Transformer?
It's definitely...
Is that the car that he's in?
See, the thing, because it's a different...
I don't know if that is a Transformer. I think be a car.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because we get... It's a silver Transformer, and he's different from the dementia one. Like, he looks different.
Yeah.
Right? And then... And he's not introduced. We don't hear his name or anything like that. Then it cuts away. We hear transforming noises.
Right.
And then it cuts to a chase sequence where we've got Bumblebee in car form, Hot Rod in car form, and then Anthony Hopkins...
With the cog man.
With the cog... Oh, yeah, that's right. In an Aston... Like a silver Aston Martin. But we don't... He's... Okay, so there's also a character called Cogman.
I shouldn't have said that because I'm just... This is tangents within tangents.
No, it's tangents within... But there's a character called Cogman who is... Human-sized robot.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. There's a scene during the exposition. His personality is that he's a lunatic. He's some sort of murderous lunatic.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene where Mark Wahlberg appears to impugn the honor of the female character, and then Cogman leaps the room to choke him to death.
It makes no sense.
Anyway, so then they're driving along the... Anthony Hopkins and Cogman are driving the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Like, they drive it for a while, and then it... They go, oh, we have to abandon this car. Then they go to another car, which is a red McLaren,
yes.
right? And then they drive that for a while, and then Cogman has to leave, and then Anthony Hopkins gets into another car, which I didn't recognize, but I looked it up later. It's some sort of self-driving Chinese concept car.
He changes cars three times, does he?
I think what happened is all these car companies just said, can you put our cars in?
And
they went, and they just went, burp, burp, burp. So... I looked it up. Hang on, I'll find... So I went to the Transformers wiki page, which is a mistake, obviously.
Yeah, that is.
Hang on, I'll find it. Bloody find it. Which is being continuously updated as people learn, like...
Trying to figure out
a continuous battle to determine what's out. Anyway, so this is what Wikipedia says about this whole sequence, right?
Okay.
So the first bit, the Aston Martin bit, right? And I think this is wrong, but it says Cogman is a polite, sociopathic, true, human-sized headmaster with a larger robot body that transforms into an Aston Martin DB11. Wrong. That's what it says.
Yeah.
But so that would imply...
I don't think he transformed into anything.
No, he doesn't. And why would he look like that?
And then transform into a...
So what that implies... First of all... If that's true, they never say that's what he is.
No.
And they never show him, because what a headmaster is he would transform into the head of a larger Transformer. Then
right.
That Transformer would transform into the Aston Martin.
Yes.
Because right? That's what it does in the comic book. So somebody's done some original research.
Okay.
But we never see him do that. And also, he's driving the car.
Yes, that's right. He's not part of it.
He's not part of the car.
Yeah.
What is the stealth advantage of turning into the head of a Transformer?
Mm.
And then transforming into the car, and then you're driving the car. There's no... right?
Sense.
Yeah.
But then they go to a submarine.
Oh, wait. What I think happened... Here's the thing. Here's what I think happened is... They put it... I think the idea was originally that Anthony Hopkins just has three cars.
Yeah.
And then I think what happened is Aston Martin emails them and says, hey, can you make our car a Transformer? We'll give you another $1 million.
Okay.
And they went, all right, he's this guy.
Yeah.
And they just spent an afternoon drawing a new Transformer.
Just a plug-in.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Just plugged it in. I think that's how they did it.
And because they didn't show the actual transformation. So they only had the robot model and the car,
Second point
of
the chase. Now, the second point of the chase is they get in a McLaren, right? Which is a British car. They're driving it in Britain in a British car chase. Yes. It's an American one. The steering wheel's on the wrong side.
Yeah.
So they just filmed Anthony Hopkins in America.
Yeah.
Get it? Look, I always thought these movies were car nuts.
Yeah.
Which I'm not, but I sort of know a little bit about them. Mm. So I'm like, wouldn't you get it right?
You think you would,
You think you'd get it right.
Yeah, and that, because it seemed like that was shot in England. It seemed like they actually went to England. So it's weird that they would have flown over an American car to,
Anyway, it was very confusing, and I think this is wrong.
Yeah, probably. We'll check in it tomorrow and see
what it says. Yeah.
Also, they get in a submarine, which they say is either a transformer or a transformer transport, even though it doesn't transform, and it's also not big enough to put a transformer in it.
Because Bumblebee has to hang off the side.
It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
I didn't actually hate Cogman. I was like, whatever. He's not like a weird stereotype. I mean, he is a stereotype, but he's not like an offensive stereotype.
Right, sure.
Oh, God. Mark Wahlberg is on the run from the police.
Yes.
Even though the local sheriff in his town, who he calls Chief, he's like, that's kind of racist. But if you say that's kind of racist, then you're hanging a lantern on it, it's fine. You can say whatever
you want.
Totally
right.
He knows where he is.
Also, he steals that guy's car.
Yeah.
Why? You're in a junkyard.
You've got
so many cars.
You've got so many cars.
Yeah. Again, the first 40 minutes is completely unnecessary.
It's weird because people seem to know, even though he's on the run, a lot of people seem to know where he is.
Yeah, right?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. You could keep the car chases. You could keep the military stuff. You could keep the submarine. You could even keep that they're aliens. It would still work as this hypothetical movie I think it is.
Yeah, right? Okay, so Optimus Prime, right?
Yes.
He gets turned evil pretty early on because he goes to find his creator. This is one of them.
Normally, yeah, it's a largely unoccupied Cybertron, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, with grass on it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And then he spends a lot of the movie telling people that he's Optimus Prime or he's Nemesis Prime.
Yep.
And then at the very end when he turns good or whatever, he does. I feel like it's nearly the exact same speech from the end of the first movie where he goes, Autobots, this is our new home and this is where we're going to live. You've been living there for like fucking 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Who are you talking to?
Right.
What is happening?
Yeah.
And there's also the bit where he runs in, like he doesn't show up for like an hour, maybe two.
Yeah, right.
And then he runs in and he steals the staff. And Mark Wahlberg's like, hey, man, this isn't you. And then Bumblebee kind of like, are we fighting?
Yeah,
so
right.
Then they somehow they start tumbling around or whatever on the outside of the ship because they're in an underground ship, aren't
Stonehenge.
They?
Stonehenge.
No, because they're above Stonehenge because they came out of the water.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
In a ship. And then the other knights show up and beat the shit out of him.
Yep.
And they're like, how dare you betray us? Where were you when he walked into the room where you were and just took it? None of you stopped him.
Yeah, right.
And then he's just on his knees going, what did I do? And they're just kicking him in the head.
Yeah. And then Mark Wahlberg shows up and saves the day. He did the one thing that he had to
do. He did the one thing. Also, I guess that sword is magic in the sense that
Excalibur, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But they're all Excalibur because they all have them.
Yeah, right.
Or was that Arthur's?
I don't know.
Or was it a Transformers?
I don't know.
But he can stop the full weight of a Transformer with it.
Yeah.
He can just hold it out and it does the work for him. I don't know, man. I don't know.
This movie is a lot of tangents. Here's the thing that I've discovered about this movie, because I've talked to a couple of people about it recently, is that anytime you try to criticize something, there's another criticism within the criticism.
Yes, that's right.
So you keep going back and forth. You just get weighed down by. Also, why is Megatron back?
Well,
why is he back in his original form?
Because, well, he's sort of original form, but in the last movie he was Galvatron and he had a big hole in his chest.
And he was put into a Transformium drone
that
would transform into little cubes.
Yes.
But he's a regular Transformer.
He's a regular Transformer.
Unexplained.
Unexplained. Yeah. I guess maybe he didn't like being Galvatron because of the humans made him or whatever.
But how did he...
About the soul? Was that ever...
But that's the thing, he had no spark, so how could he transfer into another body? Where'd the body come from?
Well, I guess they can change from cars to other cars, so I guess they can change from...
Oh, yeah. Can we get back to this?
Okay.
Nobody... Again, like I said, if I was if I went back to my 8-year-old self and I said, hey, when you grow up, there's going to be live-action Transformers movies, I would have been like, wow. And then I'd be like, but a lot of the transforming takes place off-screen. I'd be like, why?
That's all you want to say.
Optimus Prime transforms once in this movie into a truck. It's off-screen.
That's true.
Yeah. Why? It's almost like he's too old now, so he put something in his contract that says he doesn't have to transform anymore, and they just got a stunt truck.
Yeah, like Daniel Craig doesn't run in James Bond James Bond movies anymore.
Mm.
Oh my God.
There's some... I don't...
Okay, what about this?
Why are they not transforming? I don't understand. That's the whole bit. Like, the first... They're all bad, but at least the first one, you know, when Optimus Prime shows up, and there's this... like a 20-second sequence where all the bits come apart and all the bits
comes
and there's moving the gears and whatever.
Yeah.
At least he transforms.
Tad Hamilton's in this.
It's like they did a... Yeah, he is. Oh, he's so golden and his hair's so tall. But it's like they did market research and they went, you know what people don't like about these Transformers movies is the transforming.
Yeah.
Who were they talking
That's
to?
That's all people like.
Yeah.
All people want to see is Transformers.
Mm.
Even though you get sick of it, and the last movie was just an hour of robots smashing each other,
yeah.
That's better than this,
yeah,
which
sure.
is nothing.
Yeah.
They go into a room with a staff, and the room tips, then it's zero G, and also one of them has a slow motion gun or something.
Oh yeah, Hot Rod has a time distortion gun.
He is Hot Rod in name only.
Yeah,
and look, I'm not a stickler for Transformers lore or anything, but they take so much of it and just get it wrong.
Yeah,
like way wrong. He's not even a Hot Rod.
Hot Rod has a time distortion.
He's not a Hot Rod, is he? Just to be clear.
No, he's initially a Citroen.
Yeah.
Because he's French.
Yes.
Like a.
But also they say you're not French. I guess none of them are anything.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
not French.
Adopt accent.
He just has the accent. He can't shake it for some reason. And then he's a Lamborghini, which is Italian. It's not a Hot Rod.
Yeah. Well, I guess Bumblebee isn't a bug either.
No, exactly right.
But anyway, but he's not called Bug.
No, exactly. Yeah. Bumblebee now has an ability to break into pieces and reassemble himself.
I like
that.
For no reason. I thought that was all right.
I think Michael Bay saw an Iron Man movie and went, Iron Man still can break into bits and fly around. Why can't we have a Transformer do that? Have Bumblebee do that. And one of his CG guys is like, fine.
Yeah, I guess that's not too
I guess he's in pieces anyway in the computer, so I guess I can just throw him around.
Yeah, that's fine.
Why
we
not?
Can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know what I reckon? Maybe somebody saw an error, like, Michael Bay was watching the dailies, like the animation dailies, and there was an error and Bumblebee just broke into pieces, the character model, and just went, have it do
That's
that.
That's fine.
Yeah, so he uses it once and never again.
No.
Yeah.
Also, he doesn't need to do it because he's a giant robot.
Exactly.
He could just come in and just smash everybody.
Yeah, he could shoot everybody from a mile away because he's got a laser gun.
That's right. Also, Bumblebee gets his voice back, and Optimus Prime says to him, I haven't heard you use your voice since back on Cybertron, except for 10 years ago when you used it at the end of the first movie.
Transformers 1, yeah.
And also, it's established at the start of that movie that his voice box is recently damaged. So he was speaking just before and
That's
just
true,
after
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They don't even know their own continuity.
Yeah. Also, in this current movie, he gets a Mark Wahlberg puts a new voice box in him, and he talks like a lady, and it's very funny, because that's very funny. And then he tears the voice box out, and he throws it away, and at the end of the movie, he talks.
Yes.
Did he get a new one?
Could he always? But also, it's kind of implied in 2 that he can talk, but he chooses not to.
Yeah.
I said last week that I normally didn't understand what he was doing, because he speaks in, like, clips,
yeah, right.
But I kind of understood him in this for most
of it. Well, he said sting like a bee, which is his new catchphrase.
Very good.
Yeah.
You looking forward to the Bumblebee spin-off next year?
Yeah, kind of.
I think
Michael Bay's not doing it right.
And this is what I feared would happen. Not feared, I don't really care. Would happen. They've finally driven it into the ground as Michael Bay's leaving. So now they're going to spend time trying to get this franchise back on track.
Yeah.
Except you've cornered yourself in terms of continuity, because Unicron is the Earth and Bumblebee can talk and Transformers were dinosaurs with people and humans and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And now they've got to make sense of this mess in future movies.
Yeah,
in
right.
A franchise that people have dwindling interest in.
Correct.
They've really fucked it up.
Ta-da!
But finally did it.
Bumblebee in World War II is pretty good though, isn't it?
Yeah, for that 3 seconds we saw it.
Yeah, pretty great.
Yeah, and you know, I don't mind the character of Bumblebee, like this version of it. It's okay, and I guess I'll see a movie set in the 80s with him. I guess, but
I feel I have more bad stuff to say about this movie. Yeah. But what do I have?
I could do some stuff about some letters that we got. Some tweets while you're thinking about
it. Okay.
Why do some of them have dementia and some don't? Like, Grimlock is a dinosaur-age Transformer, yeah. And yet there's the World War One one who, maybe he is older, has also dementia.
Yeah, right.
Has more dementia. Also, there was one from Part 2 who was a jet who was like, I used to turn into a wheel in the Stone Age.
That's right.
But he also, does he have dementia or is he just falling apart?
Don't
know. I don't know. I guess if you get hit in the head enough, you have dementia. I guess
sure,
that's,
right, yeah.
That's the kind of the rule. Also, Megatron will be back because he just got kicked off the ship.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned it before, the whole crux of this movie, the selling point is that it's good guy against good guy. Optimus yep. Prime's turned evil. It's 3 minutes. It's yeah, maybe 3 minutes. Yeah, right. Yeah. God. All right, here's some letters. All right. It's from Luke Crane. Transformers 5 sure was a movie, wasn't it? A shit movie.
Nice.
Got him. This is from John. Did you guys notice the ridiculous constant aspect ratio switching?
Yes.
And so much cussing. Shia LaBeouf too. The aspect thing was really jarring.
Mm.
Was that just me? I mentioned that in my review because it's not sequences. It's during dialogue.
Yeah,
and,
totally, right.
And often it will be like, it'll show Mark Wahlberg and then it'll be like, the girl who's in the stripper dress, which they say, you're in a stripper dress.
Yeah. You know what I liked in this movie? The mums. All the British mums. Oh, yeah. Having a bit of a chat.
Yeah.
That was fun. And see, that's the thing. The British mums would have worked in a movie about a woman with the thing and she's descended a mill and she's got to do the magic stuff. You have the mums and the mums are like, ooh, why don't you just get a man? Blah, 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 right? That's fun with the mums.
Would you watch a movie called British Mums?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Notice how they kind of... Well, we talked about last week whether Shia LaBeouf would turn up or whether he's a draw. I guess not because he's used to a comedic effect. Because they try and make him kind of sleek and sexy and tan in the Transformers movies. But in this one, the picture of him, he's just a goof. He's got he's got Kramer head. He's
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, God. And there was a lot of swearing in this. Like, for a kid's movie, there was a lot of like, you shithead, you piece of shit, you garbage. Like, I don't know.
This is a movie I feel for divorced dads to take their kids to. Because Mark Wahlberg's the divorced dad.
He's the divorced dad.
He's the divorced...
No, she died.
Yeah, no, but that's not the point. The point is, you see yourself as you're the divorced dad. He's he's a dude, and he's on his own.
He's just trying to make it work.
But he's got a daughter, but he's also meeting a hot lady.
Also, why can't he talk on the phone?
Because they'll trace the call or something.
But they could trace it anyway. Why do they need his voice to trace
it? Surely if they know her voice, they know her voice.
Also, it could be, when he's calling, then she presumes it's him. It could be just some creepy
pervert.
Frat boy.
Yeah, probably a pervert.
Just listening to it, like, bare feelings.
Hey, are you still 17, like in the last movie?
Oh, God. It's from Jesse. I have a question after seeing The Last Night. Did Michael Bay make Wahlberg grow his hair to make him look more like him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say almost certainly. Yeah. From Joshua. Just saw the new Transformers film. I wish my eyes would transform into trucks and drive my drive my head to a better movie.
That's pretty good.
Just stop. James Stanley said, I enjoyed the last few movies, but I think Michael Bay has broken me as a Transformers fan.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, the female lead character, the actor's name is Laura Haddock,
yep.
Which I feel is very British.
That is
and
British.
And her character's name is Vivian Wembley, which I feel is even more British.
Wow, that's nuts.
Mm.
This is from Jay. Sorry, this is from Tom. With a Transformers episode soon, will we get another Starscream impersonation contest? Do you want to do that?
You know what? You know what's good?
Starscream's head?
Starscream's head is in this, and...
I actually recognized it. I went, I remember what he looks
Megatron
like.
Megatron picks the head up and goes, oh, Starscream, my treacherous friend. He's not treacherous in the movies. He's very loyal in the movies. Okay. He's only treacherous in the cartoon.
Yeah, he doesn't... I don't think he does betray him, does he?
No, exactly.
But they're all the Decepticons are sniveling cowards anyway.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, also, I forgot another good... The best scene in this movie, I feel, is the conversation between... So it's the conversation between Anthony Hopkins and John Turturro on the phone.
On the phone.
On the phone. That's the... So
is
what
that when
did,
you turn to me and wait, two Oscar winning
actors?
Well,
that's actors. They're not. So Anthony Hopkins is an Oscar winner, and he's been knighted for his services to acting.
Right.
And John Turturro has won an Emmy... And he's like an indie movie, like
Darling and
Superstar.
Great, yeah.
And they were relegated to a scene where they have a conversation on the phone. They probably weren't even there.
Well, it's weird that John Turturro is in this movie because he's just in Cuba and he's like, I want to be a knight like you, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, right.
Why? You're in Cuba.
Yeah.
You don't even turn up again. You don't even do the bit where you're standing under a Transformer's testicles and you direct whatever happened in part two.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, great.
Do you think in a better franchise, if there was a John Turturro cameo like that. You know, like Captain America shows up in Thor the Dark World. You're right. Oh, that's a nice little surprise. But for this, it was just... I like John Turturro a lot.
Uh-huh.
But it was just a lot of, who cares?
Yes.
Who cares about any of this?
Mm-hmm.
God, I really didn't like it. I don't know if that's... It wasn't as creepy, though, as the last one, to its credit.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You pulled
yeah.
back on that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Steve Buscemi's in this movie.
Yeah, he's the junk robot.
He's a junk dealer who, again, can just acquire junk and then show up at a junkyard in full view of the whole world. And
yep.
Nobody says anything.
Nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Okay, also...
Oh, here we go.
When they decide to stay behind and try and get the staff or stop the staff...
Yes.
Laura Haddock.
Yes.
Vivian Wembley-Wexley, whatever her name is.
Uh-huh.
They're going to parachute off... Cybertron.
Yep.
But she goes, no, I'm going to get the staff. She throws off her parachute.
And then Mark Wahlberg also throws off his parachute.
You can still wear it. It's a backpack.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Madness.
You're probably going to get thrown off this platform at some point.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's it. Is that it?
That's pretty much it. What else? Also, Decepticon characters, one of them turns into... we're talking about the confused... I just remembered it. Talking about all the confusing character models. One of them turns into the same kind of truck Optimus Prime is, except he's green. And for a lot of the movie, I'm like, is that Megatron?
I didn't even know.
Because
notice.
He turns into a truck in the last one.
No,
right?
He's a jet.
Yeah, now he's a jet. It's fine.
Got a sword.
Yeah, he's got a sword.
I can't believe they negotiate with him, with Megatron.
Yeah, right?
Insane.
Madness.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a big worst movie ever from me.
Yeah, it is.
This is.
It's true.
This is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's one of the worst ones because it's somehow more boring.
I think it's one of the. I think it's the worst. It may not be worse than the other ones. It is. But it's more that it's exponentially worse because it's the same thing as all
yes,
the other ones.
Yes.
Nobody's even attempted to make it better slightly.
No.
Nobody's.
No lessons were learned.
No. I don't know if it's Michael Bay doesn't read reviews or he doesn't care. That does seem kind of like him.
It's very possible.
Or maybe it's also possible that he does read reviews and he's like, no, I'm correct and I don't care. Or it's also entirely possible that he knows these movies are garbage and he doesn't care. Or he thinks they're great because every scene is filled with shrapnel.
Yeah.
And that's what he thinks is good.
Yep. Could be that.
Could be that.
Could be any or all of those things.
Any number of things.
Anyway, so he's finally sunk the ship and he's out.
Yeah.
he's gone.
This is a review from The Verge.
Okay.
.com.
I'm going to go and watch a whole lot of reviews and read because I haven't touched any because I didn't want to double up on things.
The film this says the film's climax is a thoroughly enjoyable, utterly ridiculous action sprint that's predictable but entertaining.
No.
You've burned all your credibility, The Verge. You are so wrong.
Nothing about that is correct.
Mm-hmm. God, it felt long, didn't it?
It did, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it was one of the shorter ones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's never good, is it?
No.
But there was a point where you turned to me and you went, there's half an hour left in this.
Yeah, what I did during the movie is I got my ticket stub out and I looked at the runtime and I looked at my watch and I went, oh, still going, isn't it? Got a lot more plot to this. Why? Wrap it up.
Well, they did, didn't they?
Yep.
Forever.
Yep. Yep.
That's what we're reading.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna read.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? Did you read it, or is there something better?
Literally anything would be better at this point. Again, I remember. I don't know if you recall. I read my ticket stub, and that was quite entertaining compared to the movie that I'm watching. But we both started watching Glow, right?
Yeah.
Have you finished it?
No, I'm like two, three in. Yeah, I really
very,
like it.
It's very good. So yeah. It's, Alison Brie is she's down on her luck. She's just trying to get through in the workaday world
of the 80s.
Of the 80s, but then she answers a casting call.
Yep.
For a TV show that
to be a wrestling
lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And it's a show about friendship and
how far are you in?
I'm like two and a bit.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's
I like
good,
it
yeah.
a lot. And grim. Nice. And Mark Maron's in it.
Mark Maron's in it.
Yeah.
I enjoy him in things.
Yeah, he's great.
Mm.
He's a good... He plays a good kind of burnout kind of,
yeah.
kind of dude, doesn't he?
I haven't
he?
Finished American Gods yet. Have you finished American Gods?
No, I still have only watched the first one. But I've heard from people who have finished it that it's good. That it's
oh,
safe.
It's good.
Yeah, I'll get round to it. I got a list, Mason.
Oh, yes.
But what I did read this week was Darth Vader issue number 2.
Oh, yes.
I'm enjoying that Darth Vader comic. It delves into the backstory. It picks up directly after he gets in his armor.
Okay.
And he has to go and get a kyber crystal for his new lightsaber. And it's revealed, so I guess slight spoiler alert for the comic, That at the end, that the person he's going to get it from is this Jedi who's been in hiding for decades, and all he's been doing, this Jedi, is training to fight.
All right.
So, I'm really looking forward to issue three.
Okay.
Yeah.
But who's he been fighting? One of those wooden dummies?
Good question.
If he's doing that with a lightsaber, he's going through a lot of wooden
dummies.
Yeah,
he would be, wouldn't he? Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so maybe he's not that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's very muscular, if that counts for anything.
Does there need to be a storyline where Darth Vader gets the kyber crystal for his lightsaber?
Does it need to be anything?
No.
Yeah. No, not necessarily, no.
There's no need for anything.
No, but I think that that's an interesting way. I don't know, because we don't know where his lightsaber came from, and I think there is an interesting story being built around it.
And I do like the idea that every lightsaber is different, and every person has a story behind.
Yeah,
because it's part of their training is to. I guess that makes sense.
It's part of their journey, Mason. Yeah. Like
but
all
you'd
of our journeys.
Think that the Emperor would just give him one.
Well, they have that conversation.
All right,
it's like I could give you one, but to what end?
It'd be easy.
Yeah, exactly. You don't learn anything.
You could start killing people real early.
I could give you an Oscar, Mason.
Yeah.
I could.
But you'd rather spend 10 years as a shoe. I understand.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's just it. You know what I've been doing? I've just been replaying the events of Transformers 5 in my mind for a week.
Oh, that's not healthy.
Real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I've done.
Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
Now they're here right now, we're gonna do letters. Now that you mention it, there was no Linkin Park on this. I thought every Transformers movie was legally required to end with.
I don't even know if that's true.
Linkin Park.
Yeah.
It feels like it is, though, doesn't it?
I feel like I'm so sick of talking about them. Yeah. Even though we've only done two. Well, I guess three episodes because we did another one. We talked about the other in the series. I'm sick of them.
Yeah, right.
I'm tired. I feel burnt out.
They're exhausting movies. Yeah. That's what I'm told. The build up of these. It's just like a build up of when you watch.
How is it worse than I thought it was going to be?
When you watch these movies, it's like a build up of toxins in your bloodstream. You start out and you're like, oh, I wouldn't mind seeing one of these again. I guess I'm sure it'll be bad, but maybe it'll be fun. And then you just brought down by the terribleness by the end.
Yeah.
Because nobody in these movies is real. Anyway, letters.
Yeah. I should quickly mention we did another Caravan of Garbage episode last week. It's a bloody... It was a really bad Transformers game.
That's from the NES from back in the day.
And we've got a couple of Spider-Man games coming up this week on the Super Nintendo or Mega Drive. I can't remember. But I'll try and get that up on the Patreon early. Ben's editing that one. So as soon as it is, I'll throw that up there. But if not, that will be up Tuesday.
Ooh.
Yeah. So those games we played are a bit more fun than the previous one. Which might not make for as good a video necessarily.
Sure, right.
But no, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
As from Camille. Unless you want to do a letter.
No, you
first.
Go ahead.
If you want to reach the show on Twitter, you can hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod and we'll grab a couple out of the ether.
Yeah, or you can just email weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Two options.
Two options.
Is the hype will be/still the same for Justice League compared to Avengers?
For me, it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like the hype...
Wait, do you mean Avengers 3?
No, I think they meant like... I think he means the original Avengers.
Oh.
Because I remember there was a big build up to that, but I feel like because... Not all the DC movies have been great.
I think there's more now.
Because they haven't been great, so there's an expectation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think there was a more of a positive looking forward to the Avengers than
there was right.
Justice
League.
Yeah,
right, sure, sure, yeah. I think people are very excited to see the Avengers.
Yeah.
But I think because there's been so several bad ones and a really good one, and now there's been reshoots and a second director's been brought on.
Yeah.
I think people are like, this has got to be good and I've got to see it opening day so I know for myself.
This is you talking, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big opening.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's going to be a butt. It's a butthole. That's the big opening.
Good joke.
Yeah, good. Thank
good
you.
Joke. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I feel like the anticipation for this, I don't really remember, but I remember in 2012, I feel like the Avengers off the back of the movies that came up, came to it and that coming together. And because we'd never seen a superhero team-up movie like that, except probably League of Extraordinary Gentlemen,
which is the coming
together of great comic book characters.
All my childhood heroes.
That's right.
Alan Quatermain, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, I was going to say the guy from One Tree Hill, but it's a different guy. It's not him. He looks like him.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
But
Richard Roxburgh.
A British man.
Yes.
La Femme Nikita woman, whose name I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Remember her?
Sort of.
Yeah, good. No, I feel like the hype for Avengers was bigger. Or the positivity, okay. I should
yeah,
say.
Sure, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Hey, everybody's obviously still looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been... You got to think also it's been another 5 years since the Avengers. So we've seen a lot of stuff since then.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, I still think people still do well, even if it's not good. Do you want to do your letter? Or do you
here's a letter. Tweet? Okay, so this is from Ruben French on the email.
Okay.
Is
it a scoop? Is it a hot
it's
scoop?
It's New York. It's not.
Hot scoop or poop or whatever we said. What was it again?
It's a scoop. If I had to choose, it's a scoop. It's
okay,
not
then.
A
hot scoop of
poop. So based on that, it seems Warner Brothers have decided to... take advantage of the talent Marvel missed out on by hiring Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking, what DC property would you like to see Edgar Wright direct? Because I read an article this week.
Oh, yeah.
Where Edgar Wright, he went on various news outlets and a podcast. And he basically said, you know, and we were talking earlier about how big movie studios, they don't want a director, they want...
They want a
monkey.
Gun for hire.
They want
whatever,
a gun for hire trained monkey kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he recently spoke about Ant-Man. Yeah. And he basically said, you know, they wanted...
wanted to do their own draft.
He wanted to make a Marvel movie. They didn't want to make an Edgar Wright movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
do you think, should he
it's
do
all
it?
Come to a head. Do you think he said that because of the Lord and Miller thing?
I think that's probably why it
he
came
went,
up.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Let's say it.
I'm really looking forward to Baby Driver.
Me too. Yeah. He's trying to make this movie for years.
Yeah. No, apparently it's great too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want Edgar Wright to make, I want Edgar Wright to just make whatever he wants.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I wouldn't be upset if he made a DC movie, but
uh-huh.
like if he did a Swamp Thing, it would probably be pretty good.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, what
I
do you
guess
reckon?
We have to. What are his strengths? I guess
I think he's really versatile.
Yeah, right.
Like I didn't know he could do fight sequences until This Is the End, and then he did an amazing one.
Yep.
And apparently, there's a really amazing
The World's End.
Sorry, there's a really amazing car chase
in Baby Driver,
even though he's never done one before.
Right. Okay.
So I think his strengths are.
How does he do that then? Like
I don't know.
No, but I mean in the sense of like if he's never done a fight scene, is he the one going down, okay, the fight's you're gonna do this and this and this, or is he hiring somebody who's great at fight choreography and getting them to do it?
Right, yeah.
Is that his skill set? I don't know,
Mason. Maybe we might ask him.
Oh, we're gonna find his hotel room when he comes to Melbourne and then fight.
Should we tell people that? There's a very, very loose chance that we might
don't say that.
Okay. I'll cut all this out.
No, you give it. I don't know. Like I guess he's versatile.
Bloody, and maybe he surrounds himself with people who know how to do this stuff.
I would like to see maybe a Hitman movie. Not Agent 47
Hitman,
but DC's Tommy Monaghan Hitman, who is
he's a fun, irreverent fellow,
as we know,
isn't he?
he was a Hitman that only killed bad guys, who was bitten by a giant space bug and got X-ray vision and telepathy. So then he decided only to kill super bad guys.
Oh, very good. Yeah, and there's that great comic. It's your favorite comic you always talk about.
Yeah, the one where we made Superman.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Man. Hang on, let's mess with my mate Lima.
Okay, cool.
Apologies.
You are very welcome.
Not to you, to the listeners.
Oh, man.
You can die in a razor-filled ditch.
All right. A Harry's razor-filled ditch?
If you skip the ad, you won't know the context of that amazing joke.
Yes.
No, so you think he'd be better at a more offbeat character than, say, a Superman?
Yeah, exactly. And also, there's a lot more leeway, I think.
Yeah, you can do what you want.
Do whatever you want. Yeah. Exactly. Give him some room to move.
All right, I will.
And that character exists sort of underneath the existing DC universe. Like, he, you know, at one point he has to literally go to the Justice League satellite to perv on Wonder Woman. But he doesn't have to, but he does it anyway.
He doesn't have to.
But anyway, like...
No one's making him.
No, exactly. Mm. But, like, he exists in this grungy sub-superhero world kind of thing. So I think you could be anything, you know, that character could have any storyline he wanted and it wouldn't have to impinge on the DC universe whatsoever.
Right, gotcha.
You could even have him inadvertently save the world... And nobody knows about it. It's one of those characters, which I think they would
I'm all for it. What about a Constantine? A John Constantine?
Constantine would work also. That's you know, he's good with fights, he's good with gunfights, he's good with weird supernatural stuff.
Yep, sure.
Why not a Constantine?
Why not Constantine?
Why not whoever drops out of Justice League Dark, give him Justice League Dark?
Yes. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
As from Clayton Anders. What are your thoughts on film series that never change directors? Transformers, Mad Max, Lord of the Rings, etc. Some of those are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Some of those, like Mad Max Mad Max dips in three.
Yeah.
And one's not great.
I don't think we have enough information to make that decision. Like,
yeah.
I think that the industry, the world of franchises is still kind of youngish.
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, like, yep.
So I think it's also kind of the luck of the draw.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, Lord of the Rings is great, obviously, but that turned into The Hobbit, didn't it?
Yep,
when
sure
those
did.
Started. Mm-hmm. Transformers is garbage.
Yeah.
So, I know, I think there is value in getting directors with different visions coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this in that Han Solo video I did, but what James Cameron did for Alien, you know, pretty good stuff, am I right?
Yeah.
And there are examples of that, but it also goes the other way where a director will come on board and then make a much worse version of what came before it.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So I think you want somebody who knows what they're doing, but with a different vision if you're going to change directors.
Mm.
Or just do whatever.
Just, yeah, totally.
I don't have anything in me, Mason. It's okay. What are we doing next week?
Don't know. What are we doing next week?
I don't know.
Yeah. We've got a gap before Spider-Man Homecoming comes out.
Yeah, we could do a Spider-Man something or something else. Mm-hmm. We've done a few Spider-Man episodes, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think I might be able to see it this week. I don't know whether that's going to happen.
Somebody's doing right, aren't they?
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
We'll see. Also, there's that Sony, there's that competition, which I'll link below.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you want to go to a Melbourne screening, they're giving away double passes. I'll link that below. And the ultimate Spider-Man fan is going to put together the fan event. So it'll be a very exciting...
Who's the ultimate Spider-Man fan?
We don't know yet. Is it you, Mason?
Oh, yeah.
Is it you?
No, it would have been me in like the early 90s. But
okay,
not
good.
Anymore.
Not you anymore?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
No.
Yeah, if only that man was
what
here.
What if I'd won and then I'd just shown up and I'm like, the Clone Saga ruined it for me forever. Then I just push things over. Push the popcorn machine over.
That would be your prerogative, Mason.
I know,
because
I'm the big
Spider-Man
winner.
Fan.
If you're the winner, you can do that.
You can
you
do
push
what
over
you
anything
want.
You want.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you've got a topic suggestion, send it through on Twitter, and we'll do it. Unless there is a movie out this week that I've forgotten about, then we'll do that.
Sounds great. A movie we can't remember is coming out. That'll make some great fodder for an episode, I feel.
All right, what are we doing? What's the thing?
You can find us on Weekly Planet Pod on Gmail and Facebook and Twitter and Bandcamp.
Yep.
Let's see, if you want to support the show, you can go to... Oh, wait, I'm not Mr. Sunday Movies.
You wish, Mason.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm Mr. Sunday Movies.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
You can throw in $1 a month. You can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is... in the bloody episode description, you click on that, you buy something on Amazon, we get a cut somehow.
We get a kickback. I don't know how it works.
As soon as they figure out, we're going to get arrested. It's going to be good.
T-shirts and whatever.
Yeah,
PlanetBcasting.com has a whole lot of other great podcasts you might want to listen to.
You know what we could just say is just go to PlanetBcasting.com and that probably has all the information.
Everything you need to know. Yeah.
It's got all our friends. I've got some bloody friends outside of podcasting.
Is that true?
Let me tell you. Not really.
I've never met them.
Yeah, you've never met them. Exactly. you can just see all the other shows on Planet Broadcasting.
Yeah.
You can bloody check out some tweets and some...
some good times.
Stuff, links, merch.
Yeah. Links, tweets, merch.
So you can sign up for the newsletter,
yeah,
which is great. Our friend Rob Collings.
Who actually did an animation this week on Transformers Age of Extinction, where we did a segment called Hey, You Remember the Bit?
Yeah,
and
right.
We just named the whole bunch of stuff that happened in Age of Extinction. I've forgotten we did it, but I'll link that below as well.
It's real
put
good.
That up on his...
He's at the Weekly Planet on Twitter.
He is, yeah. And thank also Raw Collings, yeah.
Oh, this is confusing now.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our themes.
Yep.
Thanks to everybody bloody listens.
And does a nice review.
Yeah, does a nice review, exactly.
Yeah, it's good.
You don't have to. You can just give a nice review to your friends.
You absolutely
just
can.
Just be like, give this a listen, it's all right.
Give it a go.
Give it a listen.
Yeah.
This guy's very poorly. He's been banned from Paramount screenings. And they'll go, I know
temporarily
what that, I know
banned,
what that's
Mason.
Like. I guess I'll listen to his show.
Look, if I'm the bad boy of
am
YouTube
I also
criticism,
banned?
I don't know. Don't you get separate emails?
I do, yeah, but still.
Can I come to the next screen?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can be my plus one. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that chair, you guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.